stories, and it happens to be this one, which I don't know how he felt about that, being the representative of this time. For a long time, you would hear sermons and preachers talking about how bad it was to be a doubting Thomas, not to be a doubting Thomas, and how bad it was for him because he even hung out with Jesus and heard all Jesus' message. And Jesus says there at the end, do you believe only because you see? Blessed are those who believe and do not see. And it's interesting to me that in reality, Thomas didn't experience or go through anything else that the other disciples didn't go through or went through. He wanted to see Jesus. He wanted to have evidence of the stories that people were talking about. And we look at him in some ways different, but in reality, all of the disciples were like that. Do you remember the story last week when the women went back and they said, we saw this angel and we had this message, and what did all the disciples do then? They thought, well, these women must be crazy, until they saw Jesus. And Thomas just happened to not be there, but he needed and went through exactly what all the others did, but for some reason we kind of point him out. In reality, I think there's something in this passage that is quite astounding. And actually, once I realized it this week as I was thinking about it, made me so excited about Thomas. Here's the point. Thomas went and heard from the disciples that they had seen Jesus, and he said, I don't believe it. I need to have my own experience. And then it says, 8 days later, Jesus showed up again. Thomas hung around. He stayed. Even in the midst of all those people having that experience and telling them things and him not agreeing or not feeling it or not feeling moved the same way that they did, Thomas stuck around. And that's quite an amazing thing when you think about it. Because really, we could say that he would be justified if he said, you know what, I'm out of here. This has been too much. This has turned my life upside down. I'm gone. But he stayed. I think there are a couple reasons why he stayed. And when we look at Thomas, I think we can also see some things about the community, the beloved community that he was part of. I think, first of all, he stayed because he had some part of him that even though other parts of him doubted and had questions, there was something inside of him that stirred. Just maybe the tiniest little piece. You see, the stirring of our souls and God working within us doesn't have to be this massive, all-consuming thing. It can be this tiny little thing. Like a mustard seed. That's all we need for God to move and be able to move our lives, is just to give that little bit of a space. And here's the thing about the community that we see with this, is that the beloved community that had a different experience than Thomas made space for Thomas to be there. That's a remarkable thing, too. They made space for him to be able to have his questions, to be able to doubt, to be able to disagree with them, but they had created the space where they didn't shame him away or make him feel uncomfortable. He was welcome with them as well. Because they realized that at the core of this community was not that they all had to agree or behave or believe the same thing, but that at the core of this community was that they were all just trying to figure out this God and Jesus thing. Thomas was stirred somehow, and the community gave him the space to be stirred and moved in whatever way that God chose to do it. That is a remarkable thing. I think the other reason why Thomas was sticking around was because he had a relationship with these people. Some of them he probably had known for most of his life because they were in that same area where he grew up. Others he knew for 3 very intense years as they walked with Jesus. Some of the others, maybe they just came along within the recent past, but there was this relationship with this community that was built and developed by the fact that they had all experienced and been in the midst of God. And here's the other really interesting thing. The church, at its earliest moment, when it really could have all fallen apart, was held together not by a common theological view, not by everybody believing and seeing the same thing. The church was held together at that most tender and difficult moment by the relationships that they had with each other. That's what it means to be the beloved community. That relationship with each other is what kept Christianity together. That's a remarkable thing. It's that ability to be together with each other, to spend time with each other, to walk with each other on our journeys, to care about each other. When I was in second grade, we had what I would have seen from my second grade eyes, a time in our school that was just as traumatic as Thomas's time. Because, you know, I saw it through second grade eyes. We had a playground bully who was a fourth grader and had been held back a couple years, so was like a sixth grader. And he was big and he was tough. And he seemed pretty mean. And for some reason, I seemed to get a lot of his attention. And so I suggested to the other second graders that we create a community, form a pact, that if one of us got in trouble, all the others would help out. Now, mostly I created it for myself, let's be honest, but it was an inspiring idea, and they all agreed. And the way that we would let each other know if we were in danger and the others needed to come was that we would do the Tarzan yell. Do you remember that? I won't demonstrate it today, but... And so we practiced. We had rehearsals, right? And so I would yell out, and then all of a sudden, wherever the second graders were, they would jump off of swing sets and off of the jungle gym, and they would drop the ball at four square, or the tether ball, they would jump out of line, and they would all run, and we would all gather together. And it was so inspiring. I mean, it really was, even as a second grader. And we felt like we were part of something, and we were going to be there for each other. And so we practiced and practiced. And then finally the day came. His name was Charles. I won't say his last name because he's probably a minister or something nowadays or something. I don't know. A lot of odd backgrounds in that group. But so Charles came, and he had a habit of crossing his arms, and he'd walk up to you. And, you know, body experts say when people cross their arms, they're kind of maybe shutting out the conversation. That wasn't Charles's reason. He walked up, I don't know why, but all of a sudden he would uncross his arms and just start windmilling on you. And so he did that, and he came up, and he had his arms crossed, and then he just started hitting on me. And I jumped back, and I yelled out my Tarzan call, and it worked perfectly. There was a little hill. You could see the second graders running over. I mean, you could have added background music, right, and made a story out of it. And they were coming, and they came up over the hill and came around the building. And then they looked, and they saw that this was not a test. They saw Charles there. And one by one, they all turned around and ran back the other direction. It had failed. Thomas had a community and was part of a community that were drawn together and built and inspired and given life, not by an agreement, but by the very presence and love of God. And as we see in this story, it did not fail. The beloved community won. My friends, there's a quote by Thoreau and Walden, and he says, "I know of no more encouraging fact than the unquestionable ability of man to elevate his life by a conscious endeavor." I love that. And I think it's the same for churches. I know of no more encouraging fact than the unquestionable ability of a church to elevate their life by a conscious endeavor. And so on this day, the week after Easter, I call us to a new endeavor, to be that beloved community for one another, and for whoever decides to walk in those doors. I call for us to live wholeheartedly in the movement and in the Spirit of God, and be able to be there for one another, to find ways to help and care for one another, and to be extravagant in our welcome and in our love. I have a friend who's a minister, and he said that his son and daughter-in-law stopped going to church. He said their new church is CrossFit. He said they moved here to Columbus not too long ago, and the movers didn't show up to unpack their trucks and all that stuff. And so they put a word out on Facebook in their CrossFit group, and within 20 minutes, they had 19 people there to help them move. That was the Tarzan yell. and they showed up. My friends, I call upon us to respond to the Tarzan yell, to the prayers, to the slight asking for help that come from people, and for us to fully and completely be the beloved community for each other and those that decide to join us. Now, my sermon today sort of slides a little bit into our prayer time, and so before I do that, though, I'd like to ask you to do something, and I know this always makes people nervous when the pastor starts asking people to do stuff, but if you follow me, I think this will make some sense. Now, at the beginning of the service, we always greet one another and all that kind of stuff, but now that we've talked about how important we are to one another, I would like us to do that again. But this time, what I'd like you to do is not necessarily to clump up in the middle, because that sometimes just doesn't allow us to get around everybody. I would like you to make a deliberate effort to see and greet people that you normally don't as the beloved community. Can we do that? Would you do that for me? So let's stand and just greet one another again in the love of God as the beloved community, and make your way around different ways. All right? The side aisles are always good ways to get to new places. Now, for a moment, if you'll pause where you are just for a second. Just for a second, pause where you are. I would like you to now just sit down with the people that you're with. And we're going to pray together. Now, the families might be separated, but you will come back together very shortly. But just sit down with one another where you are. Make sure you move at least close to others so that you can pray.